Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone back out this evening. We're in that time of the year where we have a little bit of all the seasons in one day, from cold to warm and sunny and rain and snow and everything. I like the snow we got this afternoon where it was just floating around and didn't stick and accumulate. This evening, we're going to continue with our series on learning important verses in the Bible. We've started off, just to review for a minute, we looked at the four corners of God's Word, four verses with that, and the purpose of this series is to help us learn God's Word, help us to learn it so that we can share it with others. Help us to spend our time learning God's Word so we're focusing on that this year instead of focusing on all the distractions that are going on in the world. The following sermon after the first one, The Roman Road to Salvation, we looked at several verses in Romans where we can tell the gospel story. We looked at laying up His words in your heart, where it's God wants us to do more than just read His words. He wants us to take our words, put them down in the furrows of our mind, and plant the seed in our heart so that it will germinate and grow and change our lives. Last week, we looked at the Word of God, several passages with that. And this evening, we're going to look at three passages that deal with prayer. And if you have your sheet from last week, it's going to be the bottom three verses. Again, go over these sheets during the week. Spend some time learning them. And I think everybody will be amazed as we keep going through this after we get so many verses. And then we just keep going over it, how much we can learn this year. One other thing, Lord willing, next Sunday morning I'm planning on doing a sermon on reasons to rejoice in 2021. I think we need to stay focused on some of the good things that are going on and the reasons that we have to be joyful. When we stop and think about God, God is the master of our life and the deliverer of our soul. To please God, we must change, we must grow, we must suffer, we must mature, and we learn some of our most valuable lessons on our knees when we turn to God and let Him lead us. When we turn to God and we truly become His sheep and let Him become the shepherd and trust in Him. And friends, one of the ways that we do that is through prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer is our opportunity to meet God and lay our burdens on our Father. When I have burdens, they get heavy when I try to carry them. And we need to turn our burdens over to the Father. There are two ways to get to know our Father and to walk more closely with Him. One is to study His Word, and the other way is to pray. And this is where our relationship with God begins, by praying and studying His Word. Let's start with Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, our first verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This verse shows us the who, the what, the when, the why of prayer. Who? It's us. Let us. This exhortation in Hebrews 4:16 has your name on it. It has my name on it. Let us. And the context reminds us that Jesus, our great high priest, has gone through the heavens before us, sympathizing with our weaknesses. And He opens the door to the throne of our Father in heaven, where we can come before Him. The what? What is prayer? Prayer is approaching God. Therefore, let us approach. It's a drawing near. James 4:8 tells us to draw near to God. Deuteronomy 4:7 tells us how, by asking who else has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call on Him. And you stop and think about that for a minute. The heathen nations back in the Old Testament, when they would call to their gods were just dumb idols that had to be carried from one place to another. They didn't have any power. But we have a living God who is ever near when we call to Him. One of the chief purposes of prayer is recognizing the nearness of our King. He is always present, ready to answer our prayer. The where of prayer? Let us approach the throne of grace. That is the where, the throne of grace. It's a throne. And when we say throne, what comes to our mind? A majestic and glorious seat of power. The throne of God, the one that created everything and sustains everything, is all powerful. And through Christ, we can approach the throne of the one who is not just our God, who's not just our judge, but He's also our friend. A friend who desires to have a relationship with us. God, our Father, who wants to bless us. And just stop and think about this. He wants to bless us. And what is He able to bless us with? He has endless resources. He is not limited. I think sometimes we might think in our prayers that God's a stingy God and He doesn't want to hand out everything that He has. Friends, all of us can ask God for everything, and He is able to give us everything. And we'll see how He does that as we go through this lesson. And an important fact to consider when we pray, praying is a serious matter. Because when we pray, we approach the throne of God. We are in His presence. And like Moses, what did God tell Moses? He told him he was on holy ground. We need to recognize the holiness of God. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Friends, this is a verse we need to write on our heart. We need to have it with us all the time. Why do we pray? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us. All of us need mercy. We need to have God's mercy on us. We need to have grace. Grace is His attitude of blessing and benevolence in giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy is God's attitude of forgiveness and not giving us what we deserve. Grace is His attitude of blessing and benevolence in giving us what we do not deserve. We do not deserve heaven. As was mentioned in class this morning, when we've done everything that God tells us to do, we are an unprofitable servant. But God has grace and He gives that to us. God has grace and He gives us mercy. What do we deserve? We deserve to be banished from His presence because of our sins. Our sins separate us from God. This Greek phrase, in the time of need, this is what we would call a colloquialism. Something, just a common language. How would we say it in our language? We would say that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the nick of time. Just when we need it, God is going to be there to supply it. When we are attacked by temptation, we need to pray to God, and at that time, He will help us. He will be there in the nick of time. Too often, we get it backwards, and we do not pray to God until after we have sinned, And then we pray to him and ask him for forgiveness instead of protection from the sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The second verse is 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And I meant to say something about this photograph. Hopefully you recognize what this event was from several weeks ago when I talked about the power of prayer and Elijah. And when Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years, and then he prayed again and it did rain. And we talked about there is no miracle involved in that, because we were told, James told us that Elijah was a man with like nature as ours. He didn't use some of the other examples of Elijah when he performed miracles. But why did it stop raining and why did it start raining? Because of the prayer of Elijah. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is another verse in the Bible that gives us a good definition of prayer. And notice the progression of this. The meaning and power of prayer, it grows deeper and more practical and builds upon each phrase. When we pray, what do? We come before him. How do we come before him? We come before him with confidence. We come before him with confidence asking. We come before him with confidence and ask according to his will. We come before him with confidence and ask according to his will, knowing that he hears us. Friends, prayer is one of the greatest blessings that we have, that we can approach God boldly, come to the throne of grace, find mercy and grace, and have the confidence that if we ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, John, when he was writing the epistles, it was near the end of the Bible, the end of the apostolic age, and the apostle John wanted us to know something about the promises related to prayer, that they are conditioned by God's prayer. And we're going to look at that for the next few points here. And in his gospel, for example, John quoted Jesus saying, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." John 14:14. Anything is a huge word, and perhaps some of John's readers had taken it a bit too literally. So in John 5:14, he reminds us that the promise of answered prayer is dependent on the phrase, according to his will. Now, when I was talking about prayer, again, a couple weeks ago, this is different. According to his will is different than if we say, if it is your will. And you might say, well, those are the same thing, but we'll look at what the difference is. And remember, with God, from the perspective of eternity, because God always was, he always will exist, God knows the best from the beginning to the end. We get in our minds that we know best. God knows what is best. He knows, with all the things, all the chain reactions that we see in life, we see something happening and we think, oh no, things are out of control. But God is in control. He knows everything. God knows how the dominoes are going to fall. God knows, we use the phrase, how the cookie crumbles. God knows everything that is going to take place. His perfect providential oversight makes no mistakes and always results in what is best for his children. from our advantage point, sometimes it's like if you think about a hole out in the ground, and we fall down into that hole, and we're looking up through that hole, looking up in the sky, and we can only see so much, and see so much right as what is close to us. But from God's vantage point, He sees everything. He sees everything. So now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What is His will? Well, like I've said before, this is His will. This is His will, His last will and testament, His covenant. We are to ask according to His will. So could I ask for some friend that I have to be saved without being baptized? I couldn't ask for that because that's not according to His will. Peter talks about the like figure baptism, the like figure which now saves us. I couldn't pray for that person to be saved without being baptized because that goes against God's will. We pray, if it be thy will, we need to pray that with confidence of things that we read about in God's Word. We need to know God's will, what God's will is for us. Now, we are not going to know the details. God is going to know the details. And that's why when we pray, if it be thy will, we pray that our life, He would answer our prayers according to His will as He has revealed to us. But if we pray for something that is outside of this will, this covenant, He is not going to answer it. Can we trust God with that? We can trust God. I used to order a lot of trees and plants and things to plant in our yard and plant in other yards too. And I liked ordering things from the catalogs and nurseries, and I just liked growing plants. One of the things it would have on the order blank, if this is not available, can we substitute something of like or better quality or type? And I would say no. I don't want you to substitute on what I want. Somebody in a warehouse doesn't know what I want. But how about God? When we pray to God, can we ask for something and say, but if you don't have that, you can substitute something of greater or equal value, and we can always count on God. And sometimes we get disappointed in our prayers because we pray for something specific and we do not want God to make any substitutions. The purpose of prayer is to get God's will done. God has a will. He has a will for each one of us. He has a purpose for each one of us. And we can read about it in the New Testament. And when we pray to Him, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears us and He will answer us. Do we know the details? No. God knows what is best for us. In 1 John 5:15, the third verse. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. This is basically saying, if we pray to God, and we are, and if we know that He hears us, and we know that He does, then we can know that we are going to have what we ask for the best way that God is going to give it to us. The Bible is full of facts about prayer. It's the world's greatest textbook on the subject. And these two verses here toward the end of the Bible, they seem to sum up this subject. And notice the repetition that drives this passage into our hearts. We need to pray more this year. Every one of us. I'll raise my hand first. We need to pray more. And we need to understand when we're praying. We need to pray with confidence. This is the confidence we know. We know whenever we ask, whatever we ask. We don't have to wonder. Anything according to His will. We know that He hears us. That He hears and we have according to what is best for us. That's why, friend, we need to have a regular personal time for prayer with our Father every day. Before we get out of bed in the morning, we need to talk to Him. If we wait till halfway through the morning, you know what? We still want to start, but we're so many hours late because Satan's got a head start on getting into our mind. We need to pray before we roll out of bed in the morning. We need to pray when we go to bed at night before we drop off to sleep. We need to pray to our Father throughout the day. God often says yes to our request. Sometimes God will say no, or sometimes God will say wait. But this is our confidence that He hears, and we know that He hears, and we know that we will have what is best for the situation that we are praying about. Sometimes we just doubt God's ability, I'm afraid. We don't think God is big enough to answer our prayers. Friends, we must believe that God is powerful enough, faithful enough, wise enough, good enough, holy enough, loving enough, enduring enough to accomplish what He has set before us and what we ask of Him. How are we going to get what we need in our life? God is the one that fills every need in our life. He opens every door in our life, and sometimes He closes doors in our life, and we need to thank Him for those doors that He closes so we can move onward. God surrounds us with beauty every day. He gives us evidence that He exists, and when we look out and again see the change of the seasons, and we know how mighty and powerful and awesome God is, and then we stop and think that we can go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. But God can't answer my prayer. You know, He did a pretty good job keeping the earth going today. All the planets from colliding into each other. The sun didn't get too close and burn us up, or didn't go a little farther away and we didn't freeze today. God's awesome with that. But what I've got in my life, I just don't think He's strong enough to help me with that. Friends, where's our faith? There are no boundaries or limits on God's blessings for us. And oftentimes we do not have because we do not ask. Now, I said sometimes God says no. And the Bible is full of examples of that. But again, just think of that order blank. And is it okay to make a substitution? We want to let God make a substitution. When God said no to Abraham, Abraham prayed earnestly that Ishmael would become the son of the promise and his heir. What did God say? God said no. No, Abraham. He had something better in mind for Abraham. He had a line of descent through Isaac. You think about Moses. Moses was a great man. And he prayed to God earnestly that he could cross the Jordan River and go into the promised land with the children of Israel. But what did God say to Moses? He said, no, Moses, you can't go. He said, I've got a younger leader to take him in, a younger leader, Joshua. You got Joshua prepared to do the job. He was your right-hand man. Moses, I'm not going to let you go into the promised land. I'm going to let Joshua, who you train, take the Israelites into this promised land. And Moses, I've got a better promised land waiting for you. He had a better promised land waiting for Moses. You think about David and how David, he prayed that he could build the temple. He loved God so much he wanted to build the temple. But what did God tell him? God told David no. He had something better for him to do. He told David, I want you to plan. I want you to plan for this project. And he had his son Solomon to carry out that work. You think about Jonah. Jonah, we talked about him a couple weeks ago, lessons from the fish belly. Jonah prayed that he would die. He wanted to die. And what did God tell Jonah? No, you're not going to die. What if God had answered that prayer? It wouldn't have been good for the city of Nineveh. But Jonah prayed that he would not die. God said no. God had something better for Jonah. Jonah was to learn the lesson of compassion and write it down in a book that would last for all the ages. You think about the lessons that Jonah learned and we learned from him as we went through the book that he wrote. Again, this is another prayer. Jonah prayed for something specific. God told him no, but God gave him something so much better. So much better. You think about the man possessed with the demon in Mark 5. What did he want to do? He prayed that he could travel around and be a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth. Wouldn't that be great? Just think, Jesus, you healed me, you cast the demons out. Let me go with you, and I can be evidence, I can be a testimony to everybody that you see of your power. Wouldn't that be a good prayer to answer? And Jesus said no. He had something better for him to do. He told him to go home to his friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for him when he had shown him mercy. You know, when I think of that story, that account of what this man possessed with the demon wanted to do, it reminds me today, so many churches, they want to go to the other side of the world to teach people the truth, but they don't want to go across the street to talk to somebody that's close. Let's go to here or there, and we just look over New Lebanon, and we go here. Jesus said no to this man, but he had something better for him. You think about Paul. The Apostle Paul, he prayed earnestly to be healed from something that he called a thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times. It says, the record says he prayed three times. He prayed earnestly. He may have prayed more, but what did God tell him? He said, no, Paul, you're going to have this thorn in the flesh. He had something better for Paul. What did he have better for Paul than to be healed of this affliction that he had? He had for Paul to discover the all-sufficiency of God's grace. Paul, no matter how bad what you have in this life, my grace is sufficient to carry you through. And sometimes we might think, you know, life is just so hard. Things are so tough. I don't know how I can keep going. And you stop and think about the time we have here. And say we live to be 100. You take that 100 years of suffering and you put that on a timeline of eternity. How big is that going to be? You aren't even going to see it. You aren't even going to see it. But Satan does a real good job of distracting us with the things right around in this physical world so that we miss eternity. You think about Jesus. Did God tell Jesus no when he prayed? He did. Jesus prayed earnestly that the cup of suffering would pass from him. But God said no. He had something better. Now you just stop and think about this. And Jesus, he knew that's what he came for, to go to the cross, but he prayed to let this cup of suffering pass. And I take it to mean that suffering in the garden, that immediate suffering that he was going through. But what if he had prayed, you know, the suffering on the cross? I don't want to go through that. And God said, okay, son, I'm going to remove the suffering of the cross so you don't have to go through that. What shape would we be in? We would all be lost, without hope, and damned eternally to hell. Friends, when God says no to something, that does not mean that it is not a good thing. God knows what is best. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Friends, prayer is so powerful. And David says in Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Friend, if we want our prayers to be heard, we need to be righteous. We need to be righteous according to his will, as he has spelled out what righteousness is. And his ears will be open to our cry. But if we do evil, if we do unrighteousness, he's going to turn his face away from us. He's not going to listen to us. He's going to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Friend, we need to learn from these verses. We need to write them on our heart and realize what a blessing it is that we can pray to our Father. We need to realize the power that prayer has. And one of the best things, if you want to give somebody something, if you want to give somebody here in this congregation something, one of the best things that you can give them is your prayers. Pray for them. And that's why we have on the prayer list to pray for each one here of our family. And we know that God will hear. And we know we may have something in mind for this person. God knows best. And God will answer. And God will bless us. Psalm 116:1, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. There are so many reasons that we should love our Heavenly Father, that we should love God. And one of the best ones we've looked at right here tonight is that he will listen to us. Friends, we've been praying for people here that they would do what is right, that they would follow his word. Maybe someone here tonight wants to be obedient to his word. Maybe somebody here this evening has sin in your life that you need to repent of and ask for the prayers of the congregation. If anybody is subject in either way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.